Hello and welcome back to the Casa Connection podcast, where we talk about issues in the foster care system, and we hope that you are getting a lot out of these Casa Connection podcast episodes. I'm Jeff Warren, and I'm here with Tracy Heisler, our executive director here at Casa Shaw. How you doing, Tracy?
I'm great, Jeff. We've been doing a bathroom renovation project, so you know.
At your house, right?
At our house. How awesome is that?
Exactly. I'm glad everybody else knows that around here. We're doing some stuff at our house, too, and I'm embarrassed that we actually put a little coffee bar in our bathroom. I talked to you about that, and I said, I really feel like an elitist, unfortunately. But
I thought you were going to say a heated toilet with a bidet, but okay. Coffee bar works, too.
Something my wife and I wanted to do. You know, we wake up right in the morning. We want to get that coffee going. It's got to get flowing within our bodies. So that's what we did. But
that's
you know,
all right.
But it's interesting. You know, we talk about what we're doing in our homes and, you know, where we have set the stage and foundations of what we want to do in terms of our professional lives. And that's one of the reasons why this episode is called, and part of the title is Compassionate Advocacy, because at the end of the day, you have a history, I have a history, our case supervisors have a history, those who work here have some sort of history as to why they wanted to do this type of work, why they wanted to help foster youth in some way, shape, or form, or families in general. And having that compassionate foundation, I think, within us, I mean, it's very prevalent within our staff and why we do what we do. And I think it's pretty interesting. And this is an episode that I've been kind of wanting to talk about, because we all have different paths and backgrounds that help to lay the foundation for what we want to do professionally, but inevitably help those who are vulnerable within our community. So I don't know if you wanted to piggyback off that.
Yeah, sure. In fact, as when you brought this up as an idea to talk about, one of the things that immediately jumped to mind for me is compassion is a quality, a virtue, a character that I think everyone who comes into this, whether you're an advocate or a board member or a staff member or a donor, you come to it because you care about other people, about children, and how to help them, and have a sense of compassion for the struggles that they face. And so, If for nothing else, then the fact that that's a core common belief that we share, I think it's worth talking about. And what does that look like?
Yeah.
One of the challenges, one of the things that we sometimes get wrong is, in our compassion, we think we can fix everything for people and are very directive.
That's such a great point. Yeah.
Of just do this and your life will be better.
Exactly.
Just do that and everything will be okay.
We've often used the phrase on this podcast, why, you know, pull yourself up from your bootstraps,
right?
Which is a ridiculous phrase. That was an old phrase. It shouldn't be used anymore, but it's something we've talked about. Yeah.
No, for sure. Yeah. But I do think part of demonstrating compassionate advocacy is recognizing that we might not have all the answers or the ways to fix it. We're here to support. We're here to help.
Yeah.
We're here to encourage, to smooth the way, facilitate services where we can. But at the end of the day, our families are the ones who need to make some choices and decisions for themselves.
Absolutely.
And how do we support them as they're finding where they need to go?
Yeah.
Next.
Absolutely. And I think for me, as somebody who is a peer coordinator here within our program, and also with the work I do, the community outreach, that I personally have always had a sense of community within me. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know if it's genetic. I don't know if it's because I read something when I was a young kid. I don't know why I have that sense of the importance of grassroots advocacy. And that compassion that comes with it, the understanding that, like I just said, no, people can't just pull themselves up from their bootstraps. Or when I hear phrases like, why can't they just make better decisions? It's not that simple when it comes to compassionate advocacy. We provide, and we have been doing a great job, this CASA program, of providing resources to individuals who truly need it to help them break cycles. And I think at the end of the day, that's important in terms of the compassionate advocacy, is that sometimes people are in a cycle, a perpetual cycle of a culture, in a way, that hasn't allowed them to progress to another level to an extent, or and we have to, I look at it as though we need to be compassionate towards those individuals to help provide resources to them in order to help them get out of that perhaps mess that they are in.
And I think this is where...
I hope I didn't say anything puzzling to you.
No, I'm...
Because I'm looking at your face right now, folks. I'm looking at her face. And Tracy is like deep in thought right here. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope I didn't say anything that was puzzling here.
No, I was just thinking about how what you said connects at a broader level to the trauma-informed care and ACEs education that we've been trying to foster in this program.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you haven't been in a place of profound fear, desperation, panic, of aggression, of trying to protect yourself and your family, you don't understand, you can't understand
right
how those biological mechanisms that we've been imbued with to keep us safe activate and keep us in a cycle of self-protection.
Yeah.
So how do you break out of that sense of self-protection when you don't have any compassionate or safe spaces around you to be able to do that?
I wonder where our compassion does end up coming from. You coming from the background that you have had, and you've mentioned it on this podcast platform a number of times. You know, your mother was involved in foster care, and I shouldn't say involved. She was part of the system.
Yeah,
she was part of the system. You know, I look at my dad, who came from an extremely, extremely abusive household, mentally, physically, an alcoholic father, a father who just as my dad called him, a monster, and how they were likely going to be going to an orphanage at one point, you know, in the 50s. However, they actually ended up lying to the government workers and the workers because there was so much uncertainty about where what was going to happen with their lives. They would have rather stayed in the situation that they were familiar
the
with.
The devil you know.
The devil you know, exactly. We talk about it so many times on this podcast and within our CASA program, but that I believe knowing those stories, knowing the stories of your mother, how it affected you in your life, we end up gaining that compassion for other individuals who go through this within our communities.
Well, and I think that you raise a really interesting point about how that develops.
Yeah.
Because I love my mom.
Mm-hmm.
You love your dad.
Yeah.
Your dad loved his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And anchoring those challenging and traumatic experiences with someone you love, compassion is the natural child of that marriage,
yeah,
right?
That's a great point. Yeah.
And so I think it's really important when we're doing this work, whether you're an advocate or an ED or, you know, a board member, is to develop a sense of love and care for the families. It's really easy to read through a case file and think, wow, these people suck. They should never be around
exactly.
children
ever again.
They're
taking drugs. They're just drinking alcohol on the weekends and leaving their kid in a bedroom for hours at a time. Yeah.
Useless.
Yeah.
And when we take a step back and look at them with a lens of care, of how can I help this poor person?
Right.
It doesn't mean that we have to fix it. It doesn't mean we can fix it.
Right.
But what it does mean is that in our efforts to help, we do it with care instead of judgment. We do it with compassion instead of scorn.
Yes.
And I think that's a really important part of doing this work successfully.
And I was driving here with the question in mind, are we getting better as a society when it comes to being compassionate and understanding the plight of others? We talk about those cases where you just read the case file and you see that there's substance abuse going on, a child has been abused or neglected within that case file. But I think from an awareness standpoint, we are becoming more compassionate for those who have addiction problems, for those who have been through the cycle of trauma. And maybe I'm biased with regard to that because of the great work we're doing here at CASA Shaw. But I believe as a society, we are getting better. And it's taking time, of course. But I was asking myself that question. Are we getting better as it comes, or as it pertains to compassionate advocacy within our communities? I don't know. What do you think with regard to that? Because I think we are, but we got to get better for sure.
I can only speak, you know, to our area, our community system partners here in Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren counties. And I do think that there is a deeper sense of tangible help, of meaningful engagement with families, and not just being
good phrase.
Directive of do this and you get your child back. Instead, it's this is what we see. Here's what we recommend. How can we help? What do you want to do? And I think that New Jersey as a whole under Commissioner Byers has taken a much more compassionate lens for families. And it's a system pivot from what we have done over the years of, I mean, I've been in CASA programs now for 25 years and case plan would come out. It's non-negotiable. This is what you're ordered to do. Now do it or lose your kids.
Right.
And that approach is changing.
I think the approach from the judges too has changed over the years too, at least in the time that I have been here and have understood where the decisions are going. And I shouldn't say where what the decisions are, but where they want the case to go in terms of that compassion. I have seen it a number of times, Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren counties here in New Jersey. I mean, I think we got some pretty good judges, quite frankly, and that compassion, I think, is actually starting to, in a sense, seep into the courtroom over the past couple decades, perhaps.
And I think the long-term fruits of that are evident. I mean, I can't speak to any other program but ours, but over the last 18 years of all of the kids we've served, and there have been more than 1,000, less than 3.5-4% have come back into care over 18 years. When you broaden your support for families and give meaningful help to parents, they're much less likely to come back into the system.
There you go. We see it. Just outlined it. It works. The compassionate advocacy absolutely works. So,
and I'm just going to throw in my plug for trauma-informed care and ACEs, adverse childhood experience training for all of our system partners. Not every program does this, but every one of our advocates, new and old, have gone through trauma-informed care training. And they've all gone through a history of race and child welfare training as well to understand the impacts of race and class on the child welfare system so they can better understand where families are coming from and engage in a more meaningful way with parents of all backgrounds.
I'll tell you right now, if you're listening to this podcast and you're part of a CASA program, you probably do understand how important trauma-informed care is to the community and to the children and families that we all represent. But if you are part of a company, a corporation, another nonprofit, being trauma-informed, it across the board is so important and critical, I think, for us as a society to continue to keep that compassion within us.
I don't know, to serve others. I don't know if I ever told you this, but when I was in my master's program, I co-wrote a paper on workplace bullying.
You never told me this. Okay.
Yeah, and we presented it at a conference down in New Orleans, which was kind of cool. But anyway, what we found in our research from doing surveys is that people who were abused and neglected as children were at an increased likelihood of being bullied in the workplace.
Interesting.
And so this has lifelong ramifications for people. And if you're listening and you're thinking, huh, do I know it? Have I seen bullying? You know somebody who has been highly traumatized. 1 out of 4 American kids experience significant abuse or neglect before the age of 18.
Yeah.
You know someone and you work with someone and they might be, you know, the weirdo at the water cooler trying to talk to you. But building that compassion and understanding of why and how people turn out the way that they do doesn't mean let down your boundaries and be taken advantage of, but it does mean don't be so judgy and so quick to put somebody on the outside of things.
Exactly. Boy, what a great way to end this CASA Connection podcast here. Do you have anything else with regard to compassionate advocacy, Tracy, before we head out and conclude this episode?
Just a word of the importance of engaging. Ask people what they need.
Yeah. That's such a great point.
And that to me, that's really at the core of compassionate advocacy. We can offer everything in service, but if it's not needed, not wanted, all it does is raise another barrier between you and the other and the family with in terms of meaningful engagement.
Yeah. Great way to end this CASA Connection podcast. Head on over to our website, casashaw.org. We've got a lot of great resources. Hit that resource tab right at the top. You're going to find a ton of great resources. Our CASA Shaw video series, family video series, I should say, as well as this CASA Connection podcast. It'll link right to Podbean. And we've got, again, a ton of other great, great resources on our page.
Can I just say one more thing?
Of course.
Before we go?
Yes.
So while you're wrapping up, I was looking at my email and one of our traveling tutors just sent a note that one of our kids who has been failing hard every class has passed all of his classes for the second marking period.
How about that? Compassionate woo-hoo, advocacy, folks. Woo-hoo. Yes. How about that?
That and Donna Cardamone.
Is that Donna? Yes. Yeah. Our superstar educational CASA advocate superstar, I should say, Donna Cardamone. Boy, what a fantastic job. Those are the stories. Those are the stories that bring joy. It brings that fulfillment and just a sense of pure, like, I don't want to use the word bliss, but it's awesome. You know, when a child now has an opportunity because of compassionate advocacy.
Yes. And it's the other thing that it has done. Not only did he pass the second marking period, but it showed him that he can.
That he can do it.
That it's reframing the school's hard, I can't do it.
Yeah.
To, well, you just passed all your classes for the second marking period, guy.
Yep, absolutely.
Think again.
Oh, now that's a great way to end this CASA Connection podcast. Again, everybody, casashaw.org. Find us on Instagram at @CASA_Shaw. And we are on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/CASA Shaw, and we will catch you on the next CASA Connection podcast. Take care, everybody.
Have a great day.